Bit different this morning, I guess, or it seems like it's a little different to me. Maybe you will find it worthwhile to listen to. Turn, if you will, please, first to the book of Jonah and the tail end of the Old Testament. Y'all remember about the story about Jonah? How God came to him and asked him to go to Nineveh, one of the biggest cities of those days, and to preach a revival there. And Jonah said, I don't want to go. I don't care anything about him myself. And he lit out running. Well, when he ran as far as he could run, he got to the water. There was a boat tied there. Probably the devil had it there, because every time I ever run from God, when I got to where I couldn't run anymore, the devil gave me another way to go. And he paid his fare and got in the boat. And when he got in the sea with the boat, a great storm came up to the effect that everybody else on the boat thought they were going to die. So they got to trying to figure out who might be the reason for the problem. They thought like that back in those days. We've lost that ability to look around and see why God might be dealing with a group of people so bad. And so they cast lots, and the lot fell on Jonah. And they said, what have you done? He said, well, God's been asking me to go do something for him, and I'm running from him to keep him doing it. And they said, well, what must we do to get rid of the storm? And he said, just throw me overboard. And they did. And then they sacrificed to that God because the storm immediately stopped. As soon as he hit the water, the storm stopped. But out of that whole story, there's something I want to bring to your attention. It says in Jonah chapter 1 and verse 15, so they took up Jonah and cast him forth into the sea, and the sea ceased from her raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice unto the Lord and made vows, promising, I'm sure, to what they would do to worship God, the real God, the one that can handle storms and stop them in an instant. Now look at verse 17. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. And Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Now stop right there, because we always talk about Jonah and the whale. It didn't say a whale, it said a big fish. And there's something else that I want to bring to your attention. Now the Lord had prepared a great fish to swallow up Jonah. I want you to think about that for a minute. Here's all these big fish swimming around in the ocean. And God calls one of them. He's got a job for him to do. You got to be right here at this place because this boat's coming here and they're going to throw a guy overboard and you got to swallow him. And you know what? He was right there, right in the right place. Opened his mouth, saw the guy coming down through the water, said he was already down to almost the bottom because he was in the weeds and all. And that fish swallowed him up. Why? Because God told him to. That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. In chapter 2 and verse 10, and the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. Another point to that story. When he ran as far as he could run and got to the shore when he couldn't, or the edge of the water where he couldn't run anymore, there was a boat there. And it said he paid the fare. An interesting thing. When the big fish vomited up Jonah on the dry land, Nineveh was in walking distance. There's a message in that. When you're running from God, you got to pay the fare. When you repent and call out from the belly of a fish for the Lord to save you. He carries where you want, He wants you to go, and it's within walking distance. It doesn't cost you a bit when God, when you're following God. He makes a way for you to get there. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, Arise, go into Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Go do what I told you to do to start with, what he said. Just as soon as he got on the beach and got up off the sand, and the word of God came to Jonah again. I'm still here. I'm still after you to do what I told you to do to start with. Jonah was going crossways with God, and God used an animal, one of his creations in the animal world to remedy the situation. Turn, if you will, please, to Matthew chapter 17. Jesus and Peter are traveling together. And when they come to Capernaum, it says in verse 24, and when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter. Tax collectors were people that wandered around a town or a village, and any stranger that came in had to pay a tax. And when they were come to Capernaum, they that received tribute money came to Peter and says, Doth not your master pay tribute? Doesn't your master pay his taxes? And he said, Yes. And then look down at verse 27. Notwithstanding, Jesus said, lest we should offend those people who are collecting taxes, let's pay our taxes. We don't want to offend anybody. He told Peter, Go thou to the sea and cast a hook and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money. Take that and get unto them for you and me. First, Jesus used a big fish. Then he used a little fish. Now think about this. Here's a fish, probably never seen folks. Probably don't know who created him. God spoke to him and said, Look, I got a job for you. I got to have you in this particular place, and there's going to be a hook come out and land right close to you, and you've got to reach and bite that hook. And then a guy's going to pull you in, and he's going to open your mouth and take a coin out of it. How'd the coin get in there? I don't know. It blows my mind that the fish was right there where Peter could catch him. Because he says, throw a hook out, and the first fish that you catch will have a coin in his mouth, and you get that coin and pay our taxes with it. Now, if y'all don't think that's kind of remarkable, I've always looked at it from the standpoint of Jesus. Well, he can make anything happen. Yes, he can. But think what had to happen to that fish. How did he know how to where to be? And what he didn't have an idea what he was going to do. Did he swallow the coin somewhere? I don't know. But it's amazing. Two things. Number one, that God uses animals. And number two, that they obey him immediately. Now you know where we're going if I tell you to turn to Daniel. So maybe you're beginning to get the idea now about what we're talking about. Daniel is right after Jeremiah, chapter 6. You know the story. They hooked and crooked the king that Daniel was one of the type assistance for into making a rule to where if somebody didn't worship him, he'd throw them in a den of lions. Daniel said, I'm not going to worship him. They came up and told the king, he's not worshiping you. What are you going to do about it? Well, he was bound by his own rule to go and throw it in the lion's den. And they threw him in the lion's den. Chapter 6, verse 22. The king then went out the next morning after they threw him in the lion's den and was calling to him because he liked Daniel. He didn't want Daniel dead. But those underlings of his had caused him to say it, and he had to do it. Verse 20, when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel, and the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. First thing he did was worship him. My God has sent his angel and has shut the lion's mouth, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. I'm innocent. I haven't done anything to hurt you. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found on him, because he believed in his God. See, that's the reason it was done. The writer of Daniel even tells us the reasons why God did this. So it had to be God. He's the only one that knew. So God goes in and shuts a bunch of lions' mouths. Now see, it's more than that. Because lions have got claws too. They don't kill everybody with their mouth. It was more than just shutting their mouth. He shut down their aggression and their viciousness and their ability to kill everything. I've seen pictures that artists have used to try to depict this incident. And all of them are different, but they're all amazing that he's walking around in a place where there are lions that kill everybody thrown in there, and they don't bother him. Because he believed in his God. Turn back to 1 Kings. Back to the left a ways. Now we see where God, in the business of humanity, for reasons, have called on his animal creation to do his will, to bring about his will. And when we look at 1 Kings in chapter 17, it's a story about Elijah the Tishbite, a prophet of God. Verse 1 says, And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab. Now Ahab was the king. He was a husband to Jezebel, the worst woman that's in the Bible. And Elijah the Tishbite has been told by God to tell him something. As the Lord God of Israel liveth before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. Elijah the prophet told the king of the country, there's going to be no dew, there's going to be no rain until I say so. And the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, Now you've told the king this, so you need to get out of the country. Get thee hence, and turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith that is before Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. He told him to go to a location where there's a good little brook of water that he is fit for him to drink. So that takes care of his drinking while he's hiding from Ahab. And he commanded the birds to bring him stuff to eat. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. Verse 5, for he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan, and the ravens brought him bread and flesh in the morning, and bread and flesh in the evening, and he drank of the brook. Here's birds feeding folks. We've been dealing with fish and a lion. Here's he, in his word, the Bible, he pretty much covers about every group of animals he dealt with. So here's birds that are feeding a man that is hiding from the king to keep him getting killed. And one that we all remember, turn back to the left to Numbers. In Numbers, there's a story about a fellow named Balaam. And because I prefer, if you don't mind, you know it means the same thing, I'm going to call him a jackass rather than what they're called in the book. Balaam was a diviner. Now, like the diviners we got living around here. He was a diviner. That wasn't his last name. He put curses on people. And you could pay him and he would give you a blessing. And he could tell you about your future, according to them he could. And that's what he did in Canaan. And there was a king in Canaan by the name of Balak. He was king of the Moabites. And he called some of his princes together and he said, go find Balaam and tell him there is a group of people as they've just come into Canaan. They're conquering everybody in front of them. And I'm scared of them, and I want you to put a curse on them. I'll pay you to put a curse on them. And Balaam told those guys that was representing Balak, the king of Moab, if the king gave me a whole house full of gold and silver, I couldn't do that because God says they're not to be cursed. God told me not to do anything against those people. They were the Israelites that had just come to the promised land. And they're what some of these folks probably didn't realize, their commandment from God was to kill everybody in there. There was even a group of people came to them and made a peace treaty with them, wound up finding old sandals to put on their feet, so it looked like they'd come from a long ways off and they'd only come from down the road a little ways, and made a thing so that the Israelites wouldn't kill them because they was killing everybody in front of them. That's what God told them to do. And they made a peace treaty with those, and then the folks found out they were just wearing old shoes that they hadn't come from a long ways off. They were lying to them. And then they had to live with them because they had promised they wouldn't bother them. Most of those folks were just about as tricky and as big a crooks and as big a liars as folks are today. They weren't much different. So Balaam, in chapter 22, in verse 21, and Balaam rose up in the morning and saddled his jackass and went with the princes of Moab. God told him not to go, but he went. And God's anger was kindled because he went, and the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary against him. Now, most Bible scholars say that when the term is used in the Old Testament, the angel of the Lord, that is a pre-incarnate, is the word they use. Before he was born to Mary, this is Jesus. Jesus came down and took human form and was called the angel of the Lord. So it says, Balaam is riding his jackass, going with these guys from Moab back to the king, a fellow by the name of Balak. And he's already been told not to curse these folk. And the angel of the Lord stood in his way. Jesus was standing in the way for an adversary against him. Now he was riding upon his jackass, and his two servants were with him. And the jackass saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand. You get the picture. They're on their way. His two servants and the other guys and all of them. And all of a sudden, and the jackass turned aside out of the way and bolted into a field, is what we call it now, when they just jump and go a different way than the way you want them to go. And went into the field, and Balaam smote the jackass to turn her into the way. It said he had a stick with him, and he hit his jackass because she liked to jump out from under it. He didn't know why. But the angel of the Lord stood in the path of the vineyards, and a wall being on this side and a wall on that side. So they went on down the road a ways. And when they came to vineyards where they was growing wine, they had walls that was close to each other. And they had to go between two walls, probably about as wide as that aisle right there. Wall being on this side and a wall on that side. And when the jackass saw the angel of the Lord, she thrust herself into the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall, and he smote her again with his stick. When you broke horses for 60 years, you get your foot crushed every so often on those young ones because they just don't know no better. And when something scares them, they'll run slap into a wall. They don't realize your foot's hanging down on the side of it. And I've had 9 broken bones in my right foot. It happens. And I understand how you must have felt because there's been some of them I wanted to smite myself. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right or to the left. And when the jackass saw the angel of the Lord, she fell down under Balaam, and Balaam's anger was kindled, and he smote the jackass with his staff again. And the Lord opened the mouth of the jackass. And she said unto Balaam, "What have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these 3 times? Why'd you hit me? What have I done?" And Balaam said unto the jackass, "Because thou hast mocked me or made fun of me, I would there were a sword in my hand now, for now would I kill you. If I had a sword, I'd kill you." And the jackass said unto Balaam, "Am I not thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? Was I ever wont to do so unto thee?" And he said, "No, nay, you haven't. You've always been perfect with me. I can't understand why you're doing all these crazy things today." Then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way and his sword drawn in his hand, and he bowed down his head and fell flat on his face. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, "Wherefore hast thou smitten thine jackass these 3 times? Behold, I went out to withstand thee, because thy way is perverse before me." Jesus is telling Balaam, 3 times I've got in front of this mule you're riding, trying to stop you from what you're doing because I don't like what you're doing. You've made me mad doing what you're doing, what God told you not to do. And the jackass saw me and turned from these 3 times. Unless she had turned from me, surely now also I had slain thee and saved her alive. What did Jesus say? If your mule hadn't dodged me those three times, by now you'd be dead, because you'd have walked up on me and I'd have killed you with my sword. Balaam was doing something he wasn't supposed to do. God didn't want him to do it, and he made God mad by refusing to do what God told him to do. And in the process of that, God was going to kill him. Hear me now. Hear me now. What is to tell me in the scriptures that God doesn't do that now? If your mule hadn't have dodged, I would have killed you. I think about car wrecks. I think about drownings. I think about plane wrecks. I think about all kind of things that people were probably going about doing something that God didn't want them to do. He gave them some kind of a sign not to do it, and they did it anyhow, and they're dead. That's what he says. Don't think save this guy with his mule. Y'all heard about the swallows that go to Capistrano? They fly all the way from Argentina, and they arrive in Capistrano, a mission out there in the West, at the same day. Hundreds of swallows come to the same place at one time. People have said that when they witnessed them, they all come off the ground at one time, and they start flying all at the same time. All of them got the message from God, it's time to move today. They talk about those Galapagos turtles that are hatched on the beach in the Galapagos Islands, and when they're hatched, they crawl toward the water and they swim away and go hundreds of miles, but they always come back to lay their eggs on the same beach. Who tells them to do that? They say they come at the same time. They mind pretty good, don't they? God's animal creation minds a whole lot better than we do, doesn't it? I was thinking about something. You know, when God called Moses to go to, he saw the burning bush, and he told him, said, I want you to go to Egypt and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. The first thing out of Moses, one of the most famous guys in the whole Bible, so much of the Bible is written about Moses and what he did. The first words out of his mouth were, well, now, Lord, wait a minute. You know I don't have a speaking voice. I stutter when I talk. You can't, surely can't be getting me to go talk to the most powerful man in the world. Because what the message you've given me to give him is that you're going to turn, that God's going to turn 6 million of his slaves loose if he doesn't turn them loose? God says, well, don't worry. Says, your brother Aaron says he's a good speaker. I'll just get him to speak. But it made God mad. It says it did. And then he said, but wait a minute. All right, you got Aaron to speak for me, but what is a king? Why would a king listen to me? I've been looking after my father-in-law's sheep for 40 years. Who am I? He didn't mention that he was born in Pharaoh's court or right outside and brought to his daughter in a basket. You remember that? And he said, who do I say sent me? Probably two of the most famous words in the whole Bible. Just tell them, I am. I am. Gave him nothing but excuses. So many times, we avoid God. We avoid what he is giving us a clue that we need to do. We will start to do something and we'll get a little feeling from the Holy Spirit, you know, you really ought not to be doing this. And you know what so many times we do is push it to the back, go on, do it anyhow. I I think about that jackass belonging to Balaam. So, whoa, wait a minute now, Lord. I'm supposed to say something? Jackasses don't talk. I don't even have vocal cords except to holler bray. You asking me to talk to Balaam? There's no record that he did anything like that. God told a jackass who is not supposed to speak to a man and straighten him out and show him the error of his way, and the mule just did it. One book said that was the only place in the Bible that an animal spoke, except when the serpent spoke to Eve. And I went and did a little more research because I didn't believe that. And I know that when whatever it was, Satan, Lucifer, who was a cherubim, I understand, one of the top angels and the most beautiful angel and one of the smartest angels, got kicked out because he wanted to be like God. He wanted to push God off his throne and sit on the throne himself. And God kicked him out of heaven. But he was not a snake when he spoke to Eve as part of the curse for talking her into bringing sin into the world. That's when God put Satan on the ground and crawling in the dust like a serpent. What he was before that, I don't know. But it said he was one of the most beautiful angels in heaven, it says in Ezekiel and Isaiah. So I got an idea that when he talked to Eve, he was a pretty good looking guy. So I don't believe a snake talked to Eve, because he wasn't turned into a snake until after he talked to her and convinced her to sin. So this is the only time that I know of, really and truly, in the Bible, when an animal had the voice of people. And God gave it to it. Now, I said all that to say this. We think we're pretty smart. I'm smarter than most animals. I don't think you could get me in a very good argument that they would be smarter than me. But I tell you what they do. They listen to God. The minute he says something, they do it. We're not like that. We've got to defend our rights. We've got to say, Lord, there's no way I could do this. We've got to make excuses. Try to get out of doing what God wants us to do. And think about it for a minute. We got a big fish and a little fish, and a bunch of birds, ravens, and lions, and a jackass that did what God told them immediately. We could learn a lesson from some of the other creatures that God created that would probably be a little bit smarter than some of the ideas we come up with. So we ask ourselves, do I give excuses, or do I do what God told me? Do I do it with confidence? I think about Philip. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, and I believe the 9th chapter of Acts, and said, get thee up and go down on the road to Gaza. And the next words were in Scripture, and he got up and went. Didn't know exactly where he was going. Just told him what road to get on. Didn't know what he was supposed to do when he got there. Didn't know who he was supposed to do anything with. And here he is walking down there on that road, best I can calculate, about 48 miles from where he was, and wondering, what am I down here for? And then he saw a guy up there in a chariot riding along reading scripture with a guy driving for him. And the Holy Spirit then told him, you go up to that chariot, see what's going on. That's the only way he knew where he was, where he was going. I pray that I might have a mind for God like Philip did and not like Moses did. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for putting these stories in the Bible. You said everything was written for our example, that we might learn something from these stories. Most of the stuff you ask us to do is not a miracle. It's something we would do every day. But you ask us to do it for you, probably to the benefit of somebody else, something that we know how to do. And if we don't, you give us the means and the ability to do exactly everything you told us. And we're slow about doing it. Lord, I know in my own life I have put stuff off. I have prolonged something that you asked me to do for 2 or 3 days. And I pray that you might give me the want to do better for you. Thank you for teaching us through these stories to show us what command you have of animals that are not even supposed to do anything we're asked to do, and they do it anyhow. Make them an example to us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.